Hey everyone, we're so excited to tell you about our new membership.
We're creating exclusive After Dark episodes, monthly live Q&A and discussion calls,
and even some exclusive merch.
See all the benefits and tiers at patreon.com/glampolyam.
It was the first kind of time that I had ever read anything in literature about sex being a positive thing, that I could be a slut or a hoe ethically, you know what I mean? That I could be a very sexually free and open person without being a dick.
This is Glamorous and Polyamorous,
a show about exploring polyamory and other forms of non-monogamy after religion.
I'm Kelly Smith.
And I'm Zavi Benjamin.
We are back from a week off because you were sick.
I mean, you're still kind of sick. Yes.
Yeah. You can hear it a little bit, but as we said, the show must go on, right?
Yes. I had a sinus infection, and now I'm on antibiotics. Antibiotics? I don't know why I said that weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see how this goes.
Are you feeling better?
No, not really, but we'll keep moving ahead.
Oh, man.
I can't laugh because that will start a coughing attack for me. So.
Right. So today we are talking about the transition from monogamy to polyamory. How exactly does one do that? What are things that you need to keep in mind? And so in this episode, we thought that we could share a few tips on how to successfully transition from monogamy to polyamory. Right. Obviously, this is just our individual opinions, but...
Yeah, and this is kind of like what our story was, because we were monogamous at first, and then we transitioned to a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. What is your first tip?
My first tip would be to do research on it.
Yeah.
Because if it's something that you're going to start out doing, it could be a whole new outlook on your relationship. So do the research for it. And I think the first thing, I mean, most people look to books if you like to read. I don't like to read. So I like to listen to podcasts or watch videos. So that was my way of exploring it, learning more about it, was trying to find more podcasts and more videos. I liked a lot of YouTube videos, just kind of talking about it, seeing what was out there, and just trying to figure out like, okay, maybe I can do this or maybe I can. And so I feel like some books that I did read The Ethical Slut, but I haven't gotten to the other books that were recommended to me because I don't like to read. I did like to listen to podcasts about it. So a podcast that you showed me was Multiamory. Yeah. And that was a really good podcast, and I still listen to that today. I feel like people, should just do the research and explore if that's something that you're looking into transitioning from being in a monogamous relationship to a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah. Did you have any other resources that you wanted to share outside of Multiamory that were helpful for you?
That were helpful for me?
Yeah.
I feel like those were like the main ones. So I don't know if you wanted to share which ones you liked.
Yeah, I really enjoyed The Ethical Slut as well. I know that there are people that don't love that book for, I'm sure, problematic reasons or whatever. But I felt like The Ethical Slut really talked to my soul in a lot of ways. It was the first kind of time that I had ever read anything in literature about sex being a positive thing, that I could be a slut or a hoe ethically, you know what I mean? That I could be a very sexually free and open person without being a dick and without again, I grew up in a very religious context. And so everything I knew was that if you are having sex with multiple people, you're a bad person, you know, especially if you're a man, you're a womanizer or whatever, you know.
Right.
And so I really like The Ethical Slut. Another book that I really enjoyed was Polysecure. I both read that and also listened to it on Audible. So yeah, like remember, if you don't like to read or if you can't read for other reasons, you can always listen to books. I also wanted to add Multiamory, as well as another podcast that I enjoyed was All My Relations. It is talking about relationships from a indigenous perspective. There's a particular episode about polyamory in that podcast that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah. And there's also a lot of people on Instagram that I like just watching their stories and seeing like short little snippets of like how they transition from a monogamous relationship to a polyamorous relationship.
Right.
So what's your first tip?
Tip number two is self-care. And I thought about this because I felt like when you started dating, we used to do everything together. We used to do a lot of things together. And I wasn't used to having a lot of time to myself when you would go on dates and do things on your own. And I think at first it was weird adjusting to that because I hadn't felt that. And so what I loved about that experience actually is realizing that I had disconnected a lot from things that I enjoyed doing. I love to play video games and I love to do like cross stitching and I love to do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I like to read comic books. And I've realized that that is time that I'm getting back that I should be happy about, you know?
Yeah.
Because again, I think the health of relationships is not only the time you spend together, but the time you spend apart. And so I felt like, yeah, using that time for self-care, using that time for learning about yourself and what it is that you enjoy outside of your relationships, I think is a really great thing to do. And it can be a vector for growth.
Yeah, I really like that one too, because I think for me too, I lost, like when you go into a relationship, you start to do everything together. So then you forget like, oh, wait. You used to do things that on your own that you like to do. And I think for me, that was a really something that I really wanted to do again, because like I used to like loved going thrift shopping, like trying to find that great deal. And like, you know, and it takes time sometimes to go sort through everything.
Yeah.
And I used to love doing that. So I think for me too, like just taking that time to reflect on what I wanted to do and like just spending time with myself was really helpful too.
Yeah. And I thought that's why this tip would be really helpful, because it's not something that I necessarily saw coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That like I would have this time on my hands that I was like, oh, what do I do?
You know?
And I've actually found ways to feel like that's a good thing for me again. And because it is.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a good thing for everybody.
Yeah.
To spend some time with yourself.
Yeah.
And figure out things that you like to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My next tip is to have open communication, because I think that's such a big, important part of going from monogamy to polyamory, because you're opening up your relationship, basically. And I think if you're open about what your true feelings are, then that's going to help, you know, ease the other, your partner's, like maybe if they have hesitations about opening up their relationship. It's important to be honest about how you feel. Like, what are you feeling and what are you experiencing? Like, and I like the thing of saying like, how do you feel about that? Instead of like, are you okay with that? I think at the beginning I always be like, are you okay with that? But it's better to say like, how do you feel about that? Instead of asking them, are they okay with it? Because they might not be okay with it, or they might have certain feelings about it, and it's good to talk about them,
right,
to get them out in the open. And I think a lot of people, when they switch from a monogamous relationship to a polyamorous one, it's good to look at like the intent of it, like what is the point of it. So I think for some people, if they're already having problems in their relationship and they're looking to maybe, oh, this is going to help our relationship if we open it up, that might not always be a good idea. Like, they should look at what is the problems in the relationship. But I feel like even for us, like, it was more...
I don't think we did that.
No, we weren't having problems. It was like, oh, I heard this new term. What do you think of that?
Right.
And, like, it piqued my interest, because I feel like our relationship was monogamous. We just dated each other and then we got married. That's all we knew, because that's what we were taught, is, like, you know, you date somebody, you get married, you know, you have kids or not. It's like you have this relationship escalator and that's it. That's all you know. That's all you do. Yeah. That's all you can. So I feel like for me, it really opened my eyes up to like, oh, wow, there's different relationship styles. There's different relationships that, you know, it doesn't have to just be this way. And it's something that for me, like I always thought, no, this is how it was. This is how it is. That's all there is to it. So for me, I think the communication about it is what opened my eyes to like, oh, wait, things can be different. Things can be however you want them to be.
We had a lot of conversations, I think, before starting polyamory or starting dating non-monogamously.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that is one of the things that I really love about our relationship and about how we did things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally second this tip of having open communication, because I think that you and I had a lot of conversations even before we started to actually date. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would say to your point, we didn't necessarily take stock of the problems that we were having or had in our relationship at the time.
Yeah.
Even though I think like any relationship, we had issues that we were trying to work through.
Right.
I think maybe having done that a little bit more would have maybe been helpful for sure.
Yeah.
But I definitely think like open communication is kind of the bedrock of all non-monogamous relationships to a certain extent, you know? So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
My next tip is kind of interestingly, kind of piggybacking off of you, is talking about self-reflection. My next tip is reflecting on yourself. And this is one of those where like I think I have this tip because I don't think I did enough of this, interestingly.
Yeah.
You know, I consider myself to be a pretty introspective person. I like to think about things. I one would say, I overthink things. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think that there are some interesting questions to ask yourself. And the ones that I wrote down are like, why are you interested in polyamory? What are your desires and boundaries? How do you feel about having multiple emotional and romantic connections? And how do you feel about your partners having the same?
Yeah, those are good questions.
I think that those are great questions to ask yourself, because those are the realities. That is the reality of being polyamorous.
Yeah.
And the thing that I also wrote down was like, accept change being a constant as you reflect on these things. Because I think that something that I didn't quite understand before we started this whole journey was that our relationship was going to change.
Yeah.
Our dynamic was going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you start out, the thought of that change can be really scary.
Yeah.
The thought of that change can be terrifying, because at least for me, I wanted other things to change. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I didn't want this to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
But that's not how life works.
Right.
Change is a constant. And so I think if you self-reflect on these things, I think accepting that change is a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because then you can kind of like evolve with it, and you grow together with people.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was my tip.
No, I like that, because I think self-reflection is something that I need to do more of. Especially, like, I think that's something that I learned, that we learned in therapy, too. As something I learned, that I never really sat with my feelings and figured out what emotions that I was truly feeling. Because I was always told, like, no, this is how it is, and that's that. Like, you can't have any feelings about it. Like, that's it. And that's it. You just had to accept it, how it was. I never got to express, like, how I truly felt about something. So I learned to just like suppress those feelings. And I feel like self-reflection now is like, okay, take a minute and say, what am I actually feeling right now? And how do I express that to my partner?
Right.
And that's what's important too. And think like, okay, this is how I'm feeling. Am I willing to adapt? Or do I really want to stick to my my stand here and yeah. tell them like, no, this is how I'm feeling.
Right.
So that I think self-reflection is a really good and helpful tip.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that too, because I think that it seems like such a strange concept, but I think I went through a lot of my life, as my dad would kind of say, like an autopilot, mm-hmm. in the sense that I didn't stop and kind of think like, how do I feel about the current state of things?
Yeah.
And what do I want? And I think that that's also part of this tip is like, what do you want yeah. from polyamory? Right.
Yeah.
Because I think there are a lot of people I talk to, at least, that will come to an event or start doing polyamory, but they themselves don't know what it is that they want out of the experience. What is it that they are looking for out of being polyamorous?
Yeah.
And that it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen for you. It just means that, like, I think if you know what you want, again, like you said, it's so much easier to then communicate it to other people.
Yeah.
Right? And actually maybe find what it is that you might be looking for.
Yeah. And advocate for yourself.
Right.
Like, stand up for yourself and be like, no, this is how I feel, and express that. I think that's a good tip too.
What's your next tip?
My next tip is kind of along the same lines, just to continue to check in with each other. Mm. Like, once you have that first conversation about it, it's important to continuously check in with them and your partner and be like, how are things going? How do you feel about things? And I think that's so important that some people kind of forget, like, okay, we've transitioned to a polyamorous relationship, but they forget to check in with each other. So I think that never stops. The continuous communication and checking in with one another, seeing how they feel, and your feelings on something can change. And that's why it's so important to continuously check in, because you might have felt a certain way at the beginning and it can change after a while.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you see a problem, you want to come to a solution for it. So that's why too, it's important to keep talking about it.
I think that that's such a great point, because I mean, how many times has that happened within our relationship?
Yeah,
that, like,
you and I have
talked about something and like, I feel like it's happened mostly where you and I have talked about something, you feel a certain way about something, I feel a certain way about something, and then time goes on and I still think you feel that same exact way,
right?
And something has changed.
Yeah.
You've changed, you know, either you've had an experience or you've talked to somebody or whatever, you know, time has changed how you feel about that thing. And if you don't check in again, like, I don't know, I think in our experience, it's kind of just happened where, oh, you feel differently about that now.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So what's your last tip?
My last tip is to seek support. Mm. For me, finding a therapist, finding community was vital. And so that would be my biggest tip to people is you don't have to go on this journey by yourself at all.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it by yourself. You can find events that you like. You know, there are apps for this. You can go on Bloom. You can go on Eventbrite. You can go on Meetup. You can go on FetLife. There are events out there for polyamorous people. There are also Facebook groups out there for polyamorous people. You know, I organize one here in North County, but there are way more. I mean, and I've seen a lot of them. Like, there's ex-Mormon and polyamorous.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
ex-Jehovah's Witness and polyamorous. There's a whole bunch of groups out there of community of people who are polyamorous. Ask for therapist recommendations and interview them. Like, I have asked for therapist recommendations in Facebook groups as well. I've asked people when I go to events or things like that, hey, do you know of a therapist? There are some therapists even in our community here in San Diego.
Yeah.
So there are people that you can talk to as well as that. And the kind of last piece of this seeking support for me would also be, not everybody you meet is going to end up being someone that you date. Not everybody that you meet is going to end up being someone that you end up in a relationship with. But if they're polyamorous, they might be part of your support system. They could be part of your friends who, again, accept you for who you are and understand what it is to be polyamorous and you know, are going through similar things than you. And so I think it's so important to not just see the community of polyamorous people as potential dates and partners all the time. Yeah. Like, it's also important to see people as like vital community members that you can help and that can support you when you're going through different, you know, challenges that only non-monogamous people understand.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a really good advice, because I think that's something that really helped me too, is just talking to other people about it who are going through the similar situations and who are going through, you know, who've dated people, maybe have dealt with something, dealt with family, you know, like just asking other people's advice is so helpful. And it can be online or it can be in person. Like, there's so many people out there that are going through the same things as you. So it's so helpful to talk to them about it. Yeah, that's a great tip.
All right. So what did we learn in this episode?
First, do research.
Yeah.
If that's something that you are looking to do, do the research about it. Read. You can listen to podcasts, watch videos, and explore more about it.
Yeah. The other tip, my tip was self-care, you know, finding things that you enjoy doing outside of your relationship.
Yep. Keep the communication open and continue to keep it open. Continuously talk about it.
Yep. Number four was self-reflect. Ask yourself what you're looking for out of polyamory. Like, are you comfortable with the multiple emotional romantic connections and the reality that your partners are also going to be engaging in that?
Yep. Number five, check in with each other. Continue to check in with each other. That's something that's always going to be important to do.
Yeah. And number six was seek support, either through therapy, community, events, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Discord,
Reddit.
Reddit. Those are all valid places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully that helps. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Glamorous and Polyamorous. We'd love to hear from you. What tips, what things helped you transition from monogamy to polyamory? We'd love to hear that either in the comments or in an email. hello@glampolyam.com. Kel, where can the people find us on the internet?
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and on Threads, all at glampolyam.
Yep, exactly right. Thank you so much for listening. If you know someone that might love our show,
please share it with them, as that's the best way for new people to find the podcast, and it would mean so much to us.
Thank you.